Welcome to episode number 18 of the Feed My Sheep Christian podcast. My name is Peter, and in this episode, I will share something new and exciting with you. Namely, I would like to share with you today information on how you can start your own business, even if you have only little to no money. For your edification, I hereafter have included an audio recording of a presentation I gave yesterday to someone on this topic.
Good.
Okay. So basically, I want to help you to understand how you can start a business without money or with very little money. First of all, today I watched a video of the guy who wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned something in that video that you should never say, well, I cannot afford that. Instead, what you should say is, how can I afford that? Mm-hmm. You know, that makes you think about other ways of how can I start this business. Maybe I need to ask, I mean, he didn't say that, but that's my thoughts to it. You know, maybe I need to ask somebody for a favor. Maybe I need to say, can I pay it within 30 days? Maybe you need to get free stuff. Maybe, you know, look for other solutions. How can you start? Instead of saying, I cannot afford it, ask, how can I afford it? Mm-hmm. That's one advice, which is very good, I think. And then he mentioned three ways of making money. Mm-hmm. And one way was, he titled Earn Money. The second way was called Portfolio. I explain what that means in a moment. And the third way, he titled Passive. I'm not 100% sure what he means with passive income. Maybe he means renting things out. But what is interesting concerning, well, first he explained earning is when you have a job and you get a salary. That's what earning money means. And portfolio, he was using the example buying apples for $10 and selling them for $20.
Portfolio.
And he mentioned these three ways of making money.
Okay.
So
it's like a turnover. Portfolio.
Well, buying and selling.
Buying and selling.
Yeah.
Trade.
Yeah, trade. Exactly. So, those are thoughts from this guy. Please only ask questions in the end.
Are these official business terms?
I don't know if these are official business terms. It's just terms he used there.
Who is this guy?
He's the author of the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Okay.
I think his last name is Kiyosaki.
Maybe
he's Robert Kiyosaki. I'm not 100% sure, but his name is Kiyosaki because it's his ex-wife. Her name is Kim Kiyosaki, or was.
He's so a Japanese guy.
Maybe.
Oh, okay.
I think he wore glasses. But anyway, and wearing glasses is not the most important thing right now in this conversation. So, that's what I want to tell you about him. So, then let's go to the next topic. I once recently listened to an interview of a woman, an Australian woman, who interviewed Rabbi Daniel Lapin. And in that interview, Daniel Lapin, he told the story of his daughter. If I remember correctly, his daughter wanted a cash register as a gift. And then when she got her cash register, somehow she went to the gym and she made a deal with the gym. Maybe it was the owner there. And she also went to the mother of a friend, either of the family or of hers, and this mother, she crafted jewelry. So she made a deal with the mother who crafted jewelry, and she made a deal with the guy who maybe owns the gym or operates a gym. And the deal she had with this guy was that she would give this guy a certain percentage of what she would make selling the jewelry from that woman. So
Okay.
she sold the jewelry of that woman at the gym there, and maybe if I remember correctly, she was 8 or 9 years old when she did that. And somehow then somebody told either just Rabbi Daniel Lapin or also his wife, yeah, your daughter is really nice. And they were like, where do you know our daughter from? And they were saying, well, we bought jewelry from her at the gym. And the parents even didn't even know that she was selling jewelry at the gym. So yeah, and so she didn't craft the jewelry herself. She just bought it from somewhere and she sold it somewhere.
And
And
that's
that's an idea
is that a
which you
passive income?
maybe it's not passive, maybe it's portfolio
Yeah.
under this category. And so the but there was
The
maybe it
quintessence
was
of
in
it
other
is that.
video, it was probably another video of the same Australian woman. And she taught her children, and she sort of explained to them, well, you don't need to craft everything yourself. You can also buy them from somebody else because maybe somebody else does a better job than you with producing that. So you buy these things, whatever you buy, at a professional. And then you sell them for a little bit higher price than what you paid for buying them. And so she gave an example of buying some slime and buying other things. Maybe if I remember correctly, it was like a maybe it was a lollipop. And she taught her children to sort of bundle multiple things together and sell the bundle. And yeah, she explained to her children that they need to. She made an example of, I'm not 100% sure if it was like if she went through all three options or only through two options, but she gave examples to her children and said, if you buy these products for $5 and you sell them for four, do you make a profit? And then the obvious answer would be no. But she was like trying to explain that to her children. So and that you have to sell it for more than you pay for them in the beginning. Yeah, so that's this thing, this concept where you don't craft everything yourself. Now, in the document which I sent to you, which was
Can I
called,
also look at the document?
you can. It's called A Few Business Ideas, where I have maybe it's 26 business ideas. I'm not 100% sure because it's an older version of the document. With like I in German, I have a newer version of the document. But there's in this document in English on page 5, I think, there is an excerpt, I mean on page 4 it says, excerpt from video 15 ways to start a business while being poor by alux.com. And if you go on page 5, there it says in on under bullet point number 8, start with nothing but start selling anyway. And I want to read through that paragraph because it's really helpful and I want to convey a point to you. So here it says, the title is Start With Nothing But Start Selling Anyway. You don't need a car to have the largest taxi network in the world. Just ask Uber. You don't need a hotel to be the largest accommodation giant in the world. Look at Airbnb. Do you have the document?
But
Okay.
I'm listening as well.
Okay. You don't need a hotel to be the largest accommodation giant in the world. Look at Airbnb. You don't need a single product to open an e-commerce platform. Forget warehouses, forget transport trucks. You don't need packaging or even your own support staff. All you need is a supplier. Find a product you believe there's a market for and that you can sell. Then build a website and spend some money on advertising or leverage your network to get some free advertising. And if you work hard enough, the sales will come in. Then, once the sales do come in, you make your order and the supplier ships directly to your customer. Shopify is a powerful e-commerce platform that supports over a million independent businesses. Find out some more about them by going to alux.com/sell and open up your own shop today. And here I wrote that I think this is only the English version of this document. Here it says, note, this concept of selling things, even if you don't have them in stock yourself, can also be seen in the above quoted chapter called, quote, A Storeless Shoe Business from the book, quote, 1,000 Ways to Make $1,000. And before I want...
Storeless shoe.
A storeless shoe business. I can read through that chapter because I have the PDF of that book on my phone. But first I want to give you a business example I found in a YouTube video, and it was from a woman, but right now her name is Eunice. Eunice, if I remember correctly, her last name is spelled M-W-E, maybe Mvelch or something.
Mm-hmm.
But her first name is Eunice, and she gave the example of starting with no money at all, and she's gave the example of a business where you cook for other people, but you start with no money. So the way how you get the money to pay for the ingredients that you need to cook the food is you first get a client. And then the client pays you in advance. Then you use that money to buy the ingredients, cook the food, and bring the food to the client. That's my addition to that idea from her. Maybe what you could do is offer that the client does not pay 100% of the price in advance, but only a percentage of the price. And then when you ship or when you deliver to him the complete product, or maybe service, maybe it works as well with a service. But when you deliver to him the product completely, then he pays the rest of up until 100%. So now let's read the chapter called A Storeless Shoe Business. I actually just took screenshots just before. So where do I have it? Here. A Storeless Shoe Business. Come on. Oh, here. Okay. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
A Storeless Shoe Business.
Okay. I can't open it, so I'll just listen.
Well, maybe I can send you later on the screenshot.
No, I have the PDF, but I can't open it. I don't know why.
You have the PDF?
Yeah, I have your email.
I actually I took a screenshot in the PDF from the book called 1,000 Ways to Make $1,000.
Okay, all right, that's what you're reading now.
Sorry?
That's what you're reading.
Yeah.
Yes.
So here it says, A Storeless Shoe Business. When J.W. Hawkins of Cleveland, Ohio, had been representing a wholesale shoe company for 20 years, had his territory taken away from him, he decided to turn his knowledge of the shoe business to his own advantage. He made a connection selling shoes direct to the wearer, and 5 months later he had earned $1,000. I simply took advantage of a situation with which the trade is familiar, Hawkins said. Every experienced shoe salesman knows people have only a vague idea of the size of their shoes. You'd be surprised to know how many times the average person buys ill-fitting shoes in his lifetime, believing he is properly fitted. That's because it's impossible for a shoe store to keep a complete stock of sizes, widths, styles, and colors of the lines it handles all of the time. When the store is out of the proper size, the clerk substitutes a size close to it, and the average person doesn't know the difference. I have trained myself to tell at a glance if a person is properly fitted. Prospects wearing ill-fitting shoes usually complain of being hard to fit and doubt that I can give them shoe satisfaction. I tell them, I guarantee the fit. If they don't fit, you don't pay. Shipment is made COD. I'm not really sure what that means. But I make certain to call up my customers about the time their shoes arrive. I know there won't be a substitution as my orders are filled at a wholesale warehouse. It took about 4 weeks before people became fully aware that the shoes Hawkins sells would actually be better fitting than store shoes. He sold his first order to an engineer of a railroad, and the engineer was so pleased that he told his fireman. When Hawkins called back upon the railroad man, he had two orders waiting for him. The fireman bought, so did one of the train men. Later he got orders from 33 men working in the railroad yards, all traceable to the first order. Meanwhile, he called upon a local foundry and machine company and got an order there from a foreman. When this man received his shoes, he phoned Hawkins. I've never had a better fitting pair of shoes, the foreman declared, and Hawkins was told to call back later. He received orders for 16 pairs of shoes on this one call. Hawkins makes an average commission of $1.25 on a pair of shoes, which he collects in advance. The shoes retail at less than $3. The commission is deducted. Okay, the shoes retail at less than $3. The commission is deducted from this price, and the balance is collected on delivery by the mail carriers. Hawkins carries no stock of shoes, but sells from a sample. A special order blank measure supplied by the company assures accuracy in getting the proper size. It doesn't take long to learn the knack of fitting, and when you get the knack and sell a man a pair of shoes that fit him, he will gladly recommend you. Most of my sales come that way. From my first 15 sales, I have obtained 97 orders. It took about 2 weeks for my first order to be delivered. After that first 2 weeks, it was plain sailing. It was almost 4 weeks before I got a real break in repeat business, and up to that time I only sold 29 pairs of shoes. Then orders piled up fast. Hawkins declares it is possible to get orders from women and men on a straight canvas with two S, every day. He, however, specializes on selling men's shoes and calls only on men who are working in factories, shops, and offices. While he makes few calls, about 15 a day, he does a large volume of business. And if I remember correctly, this book, which I just quoted from, is mentioned in the biography of a very rich guy, but I don't remember his name.
Just how to make $1,000 in 1,000 ways.
A thousand ways to make $1,000. Do you know like one of the richest American guys, or do you know some of them?
Not personally.
No, the names. No, it was not Bill Gates. It's like
Bezos?
No.
I don't really know people.
Well, if I remember correctly, it was just this book was mentioned in a biography of that rich guy, and then somebody wrote that he read that in the biography, and I was led to that book through through this guy who read it. Anyway, around one corner, additional corner. Anyway, so, and the book is actually quite old. I'm not sure if it's from 1930 or maybe around 1930. That's why the shoe was like $3. But yeah, so he had a storeless shoe business. So that's quite interesting. Okay, and now I want to give you the last tip for now, which is from a video I saw or heard or listened to from a YouTube channel called The Futur.
Okay.
It's without E and the end. And maybe they had a role play. And the conversation went like this. It was like the main guy did creative work. And he was trying to sell his service to the other guy. But the other guy wasn't willing to pay what he was expecting. And so the creative guy, he was saying, well, you know, if you don't, if you're not willing to pay me what I or my work is really worth, you know, then, well, we can have it another way. You can just pay me 50% of the, how did I write it? Then you can say as a creative person, well, you can also give me 50% of all revenue that you get as a result of customers buying what you have to offer because of what I created for you. You know, the revenue he gets because of his creative work. He wants 50% of the revenue. Instead of him paying him the just price of his creative work. And so, you know, if the thing is about risk. So if the other guy is willing to pay the creative guy, let's say $2,000 for his creative work, then the creative guy, could you please wait with your questions until the end? Thank you. So the creative guy then is paid. But, you know, the creative guy helped with, I don't know, maybe designing a logo or something. And with his design, the other guy can now sell more things. He can use the design thing for his business. But in his business, he has risk. You know, the question is, will there be customers or not? And how many? But the creative guy is paid, you know? He doesn't have risk anymore. But the thing is, if he doesn't get paid, or if the client, the other one, doesn't want to pay him his just price, what his work is really worth, then a creative guy can say, okay, I'm willing to also join the risk. I'm willing to say, okay, I will get 50% of all the revenue that you make with through my help. But, you know, in agreeing to that, the creative guy basically, you know, he enters, or he chooses to accept some of the risk of the other guy's business, because maybe the other guy is not able to sell so many things. And if there are not many sales, the creative guy also gets only less or a little, because, yeah, he gets 50%, but there are not many sales, so he doesn't get much. And, you know, but the other side is, if the other guy can sell really much, then the creative guy is like, oh, now I got 50%. And it's even more than if the guy would just have paid me the just price for my work in the beginning. And so because the creative guy is willing to take the risk, he has the chance or the potential to earn even more.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a risk, because the question is, will there be customers and will there be much revenue? Yeah. And so, I want to give you like an example of the, I thought about today concerning postcards.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I didn't think it really through, but I can think it now through. And so, let's say you want to sell postcards. One way to do it is like buying all the ingredients and designing the postcards yourself with paint and brush and doing everything yourself. And then, you know, you need to do that. You need maybe quite some money to buy all the materials. And then you need to ship it. And I don't know what else. You package it, or I don't know. And
who produces postcards?
Can you ask your question in the end? The other way than doing everything yourself is to... just think about a motive which you want to put on a postcard, and then look for somebody who already prints postcards, print shop, who does it professionally, and then look at their prices,
mm-hmm.
and then you design it, and then you could set up an online store,
mm-hmm.
where you say, you know, I sell this postcard with this motive on it, with this
mm-hmm.
picture on it, but you don't actually already have it in stock. You didn't buy 500 of them and have it laying around in your apartment. But what you can do is you can offer, you have an online shop, And through that online shop, you say, I'm offering this postcard. It's actually not really printed, but the customer doesn't know that. So he says, yeah, I want to buy that. He clicks and he pays online. And then with the money that the customer gives you, maybe the customer pays $5, and you only pay $2 at the guy who at the print shop. So he pays you $5, you take $3 for yourself, and with $2 you pay for the printing of the postcard, and maybe you can also arrange with the copy shop that the postcard gets directly shipped to the customer. And so you as the sort of middleman can make a profit without you having to design or print the postcards yourself. So that's like a practical example of how you could start a postcard business.
Okay.
And I think more or less I'm at the end now, and so I would like to stop the audio recording. Thanks for listening to this episode. I'm Peter, and until next time, here on the Feed My Sheep Christian podcast. May God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen.